Chapter 2 SX-100X 2 hours before dawn on Friday morning, the faithful began to gather on the fringes of the parking lot across from Fort Worth's Hotel Texas. Drifting up Commerce Street in small groups, they lit cigarettes and leaned against the shabby storefronts, smoking and yawning. It was a marvel that they were there at all. The rain had continued to fall, and they had no assurance that the speech here would not be called off. But this speech had been scheduled as a concession to the working-class supporters of Yarborough, and Kennedy's reputation for hardiness was part of his charisma, so they came in increasing numbers, until the lot had begun to fill up like a parade ground before roll call. There were only a few feminine umbrellas, only a scattering of pretty secretaries. It was largely a masculine crowd. Union men in waterproofs and stout shoes who swapped friendly shoves, called jovially to the mounted policemen in yellow rain gear who were watching over them, and craned their necks for some sign of the legendary Secret Service. By daybreak, over 5,000 spectators were staring up at the banal brown brick facade of the hotel. Occasionally, you heard a hoarse, lusty cheer. Inside, early risers whose accommodations faced the lot became aware of the teeming below. At 6 o'clock, with an hour of darkness left, Bob Baskin of the Dallas News staggered sleepily to the window of room 326 and glanced down at the rain-slick streets. Baskin decided to stay put. He could hear the speech from here over the public address system. 5 floors above him, and a half hour later, Rear Admiral Dr. George Berkeley heaved himself out of the bed in 836 and dialed room service, ordering breakfast. Like all members of Kennedy's staff, the chunky, shy physician had learned to function on the road with a few hours' sleep. It was important to be up before the president. You never knew when to expect an urgent call from him. And several men had routine tasks which must be finished before he awakened. Master Sergeant Joe Giordano had been dressed 15 minutes before the doctor rolled out and was now supervising the affixing of the chief executive's seals to the flatbed truck in the lot and the podium of the hotel's grand ballroom. Ted Clifton tapped on the door of 804 and asked the bagman if he had packed. Gearhart had, and his roommate, Cecil Stoughton, was loading his camera with fast film and cleaning lenses.